I'll be reading the first four verses. I want to thank you again for your sharing with the school. I was thinking about it that it's hard to believe that when I took Uncle Donald's place, until this point, it's now the place of vocation that I've been the longest at. Time is going by quickly. But the thing that I treasure about being here at the school is the relationships with so many young folks that I've been able to establish and develop over the years. And I hope in some way I've been able to encourage or help them as they've come through these doors, because I know for certain they've been a blessing to me. So thank you for sharing with the school again this morning. Matthew 18, first four verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." All who are able, we would ask that you would kneel for prayer.
Home, folks.
Special welcome to Brother Neil. Thanks for sharing. God bless you as you continue to follow the Master where he calls. I'm certainly not worthy to stand here. One of my prayers, as Brother Duane led audibly, was that God would bless each of you with bread from heaven upon your platter this morning. If you're looking to me for that, you're going to go away empty. This morning, if you look to Jesus and his eternal word, you can have your vessel full. Our congregation has so much to be thankful for, the way the Lord has blessed us in many different ways. This morning, the title of the sermon is As Little Children. As Little Children, and as I thought of that, I thought of a live object lesson, but I wasn't bold enough to do it. I thought of going down here in the audience and getting one of these precious children that God has touched. We know how God has touched different children in this congregation and preserved them. Andrew and Abby, I want you to be reminded this morning that God loves you and Jesus loves that unborn child. And he's saying, suffer that little child, allow that little child, forbid him not to come unto me. Rest in his peace and trust him. As little children, here is the path to the higher life. Down, lower, down. This is what Jesus taught his disciples when they were thinking of being the greatest and being number one in the kingdom. Do not seek for and do not ask for exaltation. That is God's business, and that is God's work. Let us take no place before God or before man other than that of a servant. Do you remember me, a prisoner asked as a minister passed his cell? Before the minister could reply, the prisoner continued, "I remember you." You got me out of one of those dives in New York City. You gave me a letter to a mission where I could find shelter. Before we parted, you got some clothes for me. I was in withdrawal and I was shaking so bad I couldn't even clothe myself, and you clothed me. But minister, you did one more thing then. After you dressed me, you said, you need to look your best from head to toe. I want to shine your shoes. And that minister stooped down and shined his shoes. And this prisoner says to this minister as he walks by his cell, this you did. I don't even recall what you said to me that time about Christ. But the fact that you stooped down and shined my shoes, you blacked my shoes, he said, that has followed me ever since. Never left him. The prisoner goes on to say to this minister, I did not want to look better. I did not go to the mission for lodging. I did not want your religion. But I could not forget how you cared for my soul that day, because you were willing to stoop and blacken my shoes. I believe God has caused our paths to cross once more. I have come to the end of myself, and I am now ready to give my life to the one whose love caused you, an honored minister, to perform the humble service that you did for me that night when we first met. Soon, a new name was written in glory, and there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God because a sinner had repented, being led ultimately to godly sorrow because a minister was humble enough for God to use him. Told by Waterby Knight. Matthew chapter 18, this morning, verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And imagine one by one they were explaining why they should probably be number one. Peter was a leader, he was outspoken, maybe he should be number one. Maybe the first ones that were called should be number one. Maybe the ones that had a blood relation should be number one. They all would have had their reason that they should be number one. I want to read from Mark's account, chapter 9, verses 33 to 35. We get some interesting details added to the passage here. Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 35. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, and then he taught them concerning the kingdom of God and concerning being first and last first and greatest and smallest, at the top and being at the bottom. Now here in our text in Matthew chapter 18, the disciples came on to Jesus and they're saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, you have to understand from Mark's account that they weren't asking Jesus that question. They had been disputing this question among themselves. And when Jesus, who knew everything, asked them what they were disputing along the way, they were ashamed. Because here the ultimate example of humility. One who lowered himself and became a man, obedient unto death, wondered what they were disputing. They couldn't answer because I believe they were ashamed. And so they were asking each other, which one of us should be number one in the kingdom? And sadly enough, they were probably still envisioning a temporal kingdom. an earthly kingdom when they were wondering who would be the greatest, maybe who would be the number one prince or the number one commander of this earthly army as we get rid of these Romans. I don't know what they were all thinking, but they weren't thinking straight. They weren't really thinking the way they should have been thinking. And we learn here that they end up realizing that they're off base and they don't even want to answer Jesus there in Mark's account. In verse 2 of our text here in Matthew 18, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. I don't know what age that child was, but this morning, if you will, since I'm not holding a child here, I want you to look around you. Go ahead and spot a little child. And if you're not sitting where you can see one, you can picture a little child. Some of you mothers have a little child. You might have a babe in your arms, or there's little children sitting beside parents. I don't know, 2, 3 years old, 4, I don't know, but picture a little child. Before many of the mindsets of adulthood have crept in and distorted and led the child astray. Picture this little child in a little age of innocence is what I'm asking for us to do this morning. And so you've spotted this child in the audience, or you've spotted this child in that powerful recall of your mind. Once we've seen something, it's so easy to recall it. Now, think of the mannerisms. Think of the attitudes, the behavior of this little child. Maybe only 2, 3 years old, maybe 4, I don't know. And as we look at this passage here in Matthew 18, let's put ourselves in this circle of disciples where Jesus confronts this problem of the disciples wondering who should be the greatest. And for a living object lesson, Jesus calls a child unto him, and this child obediently comes, and Jesus sits this child down among them. Place yourself in that classroom this morning, and Jesus becomes the teacher. And he is the teacher. And he can bless us this morning just as he blessed the disciples with his discourse. I believe we need this lesson this morning every bit as much as the disciples needed it. These disciples who wondered who would be number one. In 3 John, verse 9, Diotrephes had a big problem. He had a big eye problem. You read there in 3 John, verse 9, Diotrephes, he loved to have the preeminence among them. In other words, preeminence, he loved being number one among them. And he went so far in his pride that he wouldn't receive the brethren. He rejected them. He wouldn't even receive them. Diotrephes. What a lesson we can learn from him. Is there any brother or sister that we think we are better than? In any degree? Or is there someone, even within the walls of this building, that we really don't want to associate with? And really, deep down in our prideful heart, we think we're better than them. If so, this morning we have a serious problem that needs dealt with. It's a problem of pride. If you refuse to forgive someone, you are simply holding pride in your heart. If you repeatedly have conflicts with people, you are a proud person, because the Bible plainly says, only by pride cometh contention. And if we are proud this morning, God is resisting us according to the scriptures, and that's a huge problem and a bad place to be. A little child is humble. This morning our thought is, as little children. Jesus has a little child set in the midst of us and the disciples this morning. He's going to draw lessons from this little child and teach these very needy disciples a lesson in humility, service, servanthood, stooping down and making someone's shoes shine, a prisoner. Maybe a prisoner who's in for life. When we visit that prisoner, according to Matthew chapter 25, we visit Jesus. Never forget that. And when we don't do it to Jesus. Never forget that. It's powerful teaching there in Matthew chapter 25. I believe it's 25. A little child is humble as he plays with other children. Is that child thinking, you know what? A whole bunch of little three-year-olds are down on the floor playing. Can you imagine one of those children getting a big thought in his head, his ego just starts to swell and he says, you know what? I'm going to be number one among this group. No. The object lesson here with Jesus and the disciples and us this morning, it's a child that hasn't gotten old enough to act like that. This child just is happy to have these other children to play with. He's not worried about who's number one or number two or three. He's not saying, how can I be number one in this group? A little child is trusting. Sometimes you'll see a father toss a little child up in the air or go from mother to father and the child's just giggling and smiling. That child doesn't even entertain a thought that maybe dad'll miss or dad'll let me slip out of his hands. That child totally trusts that parent. A little child is humble. A little child is full of trust. That little child has faith. He believes what his parents tell him. And he believes his parents will do what he needs done. The child is very honest. When that child is very uncomfortable, especially in a certain area, he's honest about it. And the parents are soon told. The child doesn't try to hide it in pride. You know, I didn't mess myself. No, the child cries for help. The child is very honest. And he's trusting his parents to care for him. The 2 or 3 year old child doesn't sit around worrying about the rent payment. The 2 or 3 or 4 year old child, he doesn't worry where his next pair of shoes are going to come from. And he doesn't worry where his next Happy Meal is coming from. He humbly trusts and depends in all humility on his parents or whoever else is in his care. Matthew 18, verse 3, Jesus goes on here and says, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, as this little child that I have set in your midst, the one that you have in your mind this morning or the one that you can see, unless you become as little children, after you're converted, you're never even going to enter into the kingdom of heaven that you're so worried about who's going to be number one. You disciples aren't even ready for that question. Your greater concern is whether you're fit to enter with all the pride that's in your heart about being worried about being number one. The question here is, are you going to even enter? Because except you be converted and become as little children, you're not going to. We're in the classroom of Jesus, and that's what he's teaching. Unfortunately, as adult Christians, at times we lose that pure, kind of like an innocent, complete humility of trust and total dependence on God for bill payments, for the next meal. A whole host of other concerns that we burden ourselves with and that we sit around and fret. Can you imagine a 2 or 3 year old child, this child that Jesus said in the midst of the disciples, can you imagine that child sitting somewhere for an hour or two just mulling over his concerns and whether he's going to be able to make payments and have his belly filled? Never. But we as adult Christians, we lose that childlike faith and trust in Jesus, don't we? And what Jesus is teaching, I believe, is we need reconversions. We need to be reconverted along the way. Even though we've been regenerated and we've experienced a new birth and we've been saved from our sins and we become a new creature, we fail and we slip and we backslide. And Jesus is saying you need to be converted again and become as little children. Elsewise, you're backsliding and your wrong thought processes are going to keep you out of the kingdom. It's Jesus' classroom this morning. It's not mine. Our humility has changed to pride when we no longer trust God to solve all our problems. I don't know what you think of that statement, but that's what I come up with. And I don't think that's stretching it. I don't think that's too strong. Our humility has changed to pride when we no longer trust God to solve all our problems. Because in our pride, we think we need to do it. And so many times we make a big mess. And I'm one of them. Except ye be converted. Converted. The Greek word here is a turning. A turning back to God. A turning of our values and our mindset, our way of thinking, our way of living needs turned. It's a type of repentance. But the word here, except ye be converted, talks about a turning. A turning back to God. Every time we lose that childlike humility and trust, we are in need of another turning, another conversion, another repenting. A new frame of mind, a new way of thinking is what the disciples are in need of as they relate to the kingdom of God and are worried about who's number one. The pride and ambition and desire for earthly honor must be repented of. That day in the disciples' lives and in our day right now. Except ye be converted. And the next phrase is, and become as little children. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, be ye children. But in understanding, be men. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Does a little child like the one Jesus has in the midst of the disciples and in our passage this morning, does that little child have malice? He's 2 years old, 3 years old, I don't know how old. Does he have malice? Does he have hatred? Does he have pride that he's not going to associate with this little toddler over here? No. Except you be converted and become as little children. The little children are teaching us this morning. Howbeit in malice be ye children. In other words, don't have any. Get it out of your heart. As Christians, it doesn't belong there. Unforgiveness, grudge holding, malice, hatred. It doesn't belong in the life of the Christian. So get it out by the help of God. Confess it. And give it over to God. And if you have continued trouble, picture Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. The greatest crime ever committed. As they hung an innocent man, the Lord Jesus, on the cross. And he forgave them. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Except ye be converted and become as little children. The little children desire the sincere milk. They grow fast and they are fed richly mother's milk as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so as we are converted and as we become as little children, we feast on the word of God and we taste and see that the Lord is good and that he is gracious. Little children, we must become as little children. The little child of a rich man will play with the little child of a beggar. This little toddler that's in rags, and he's 3 years old, he's 4 years old, he's not dressed well at all, he's probably dirty. His parents are nobody in society. He has this opportunity, it's strange, but it happened. He crossed paths with this little toddler of a rich gentleman. And this little toddler is really dressed fine, beautiful clothes. Do they look at each other and they say, I'm not playing with you? No. In all humility, they get down there and together they play. No walls have gone up. No airs of superiority have gone up. And this morning, our lesson is little children, except ye be converted and become as little children. The beggar's child, the rich man's child, giving us a lesson this morning, they play together. They don't make social boundaries. They don't make racial boundaries. And they don't make other boundaries as well. No boundaries, no walls, no pride. Jesus says, you must be like these children, or else you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. They're his words. Take a three-year-old boy from a brethren family and put him with other three-year-old Anabaptist children. What happens? They play. They fellowship. They enjoy being together. Verily I say unto you, verily, verily, the great I Am is speaking, and he's saying, verily, you cannot afford to miss a word that is coming out of my mouth. Verily, I say unto you, except ye repent and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We cannot afford to lightly pass over warnings such as this in God's word. The disciples are worried about who's number one. What are we worried about? Jesus is concerned about them entering the kingdom or not entering the kingdom with their current mindset. Do our concerns line up with our Lord's concerns? Are they scriptural? Do we make decisions as a church because of what we want or because of what God wants? Verse 4 of our text, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You disciples, you want to be number one. Then take the low spot. Take the lower spot. Take the bottom. In honor, prefer one another. Take out the garbage. Scrub the floor of the elderly sister who can't get down anymore. Wash the beggar's feet. Treat his sores. You see, what Jesus was teaching the disciples, servanthood and humility, is all about greatness in his kingdom. Share the love of Jesus with the outcasts of society, with the people in a far-off land. God bless Brother Neil's efforts. In Jesus' day, it was the leper. Who is it today? Maybe it's the AIDS victim because of a homosexual lifestyle. Would you take the time to stop when you knew that's who you were encountering and share the love of Jesus with them? And would I? Brothers and sisters, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Jesus says to you and I this morning, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. May God bless us as we become little children.
Certainly have strong admonition this morning from Jesus. And Brother Glenn stressed the fact, I think the word would be prejudice. Little children are not prejudiced. They will play with other children. They have to learn prejudice, basically. And so Jesus was criticized how often for being in the presence and company of sinners and people with bad reputation. In 1876, Deadwood, South Dakota was a violent place. It was actually an illegal town. It was in Indian territory that the United States government had made a treaty with the Sioux that no white men would come into the Black Hills, but gold had been discovered and a couple of places sprung up. One of them was Deadwood. Deadwood was a town filled with vice, immorality, gambling, hard drinking, violent place filled with murders. There were a town that was known for its many prostitutes. And a man who became known as Preacher Smith came to Deadwood. And he was a Methodist preacher, circuit type preacher, who heard of the ills of Deadwood and came to preach. And he found no pulpit, but rather every street corner. And he would preach the gospel of Jesus. What's interesting to me, a famous man, Wild Bill Hickok, was murdered in Deadwood in August of 1876. And the town really, in the broad picture, really didn't react to that. It was kind of like routine almost. In fact, one writer, I think, mentioned the fact that Deadwood went a whole day without a murder at some point. But Hickok, being as famous as he was, you would expect a reaction. In fact, the man who murdered him was actually acquitted by a jury in Deadwood. Other things happened later, but the point is, Preacher Smith, though, a short time later was found murdered on a trail to another place where he was going to preach. And the reaction of the town of Deadwood was, they were really upset. They were getting posses. They wanted to find the people responsible for the murder of Preacher Smith. And as one writer put it, Preacher Smith is not known to have won anyone's souls, but he won the respect of the town of Deadwood. I think that's what it's like to be a little child. We won't necessarily win every soul, but it's so very important that we win their respect. Let's stand for a word of prayer.